Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hey, bitch, what is your whole deal? Hey, bitch, just tell us how you feel. You wished for a sign from above. Well, here's a podcast about boy sex, fucking, dating, and love. Seek treatment. You're boring as fuck, seek treatment. If you're unlucky in love, seek treatment. If you just can't take a hit, well, seek treatment. With Kat and Pat.
Hey!
Hey!
It's Cappuccino. It's Catherine.
It's Cappuccino, comma, Pat, and this
is Blanchette, Kate, you're a genius. This is Cappuccino, Kat, I'm a genius. Welcome to a little podcast we like to call Seek Treatment.
Seek Treatment, which is a podcast
about boys, about
sex, fucking, dating, and love.
First of all, I have so much to talk to you about. We haven't talked in a while. We missed a week, and of course, I will never, ever, ever forgive myself for missing a week, and I'm so sorry. But I'm so happy to see you. There's so much to talk about. First things first, I want to say, even though you did something that young Pat would have done, which is tell our guests the wrong time zone for actually no reason.
Well, okay.
New Pat did something beautiful, which is took initiative and still made it happen. And we're doing this episode we're without training wheels, aka our producer Allison is not on the chat.
Scary. So
if you can't hear it, if you don't ever hear this, that's why.
No, listen. What I'll say is,
Blanchette, Kate, you're a genius.
What I did,
Jamie
okay,
Lee,
all,
you're all of us.
I do think that I did. I was like, well, he's LA. Like, no one did correct me, and then even to him, I was like, okay, so it'll be, 1 hour time, 10 year time. This was what I said. So like.
So he thought we were we were like in the middle of like the Atlantic Ocean.
Well, he had what's scientifically known as a brain fart as well. I mean, it's my fault.
That phrase. I really hate that phrase.
It's my fault. I take complete responsibility.
I'm proud of you.
I really was like,
because when you texted me this morning, I came in, I was like, Brian's like, what? I'm like, Pat told the wrong time. And then when you were like, actually, we're making it work, I have the link. I was like, things are changing around here.
Totally. Well, you know, I'm trying to be an adult. Like, that was my, whatever, I can't say anything. But
what?
I'm trying to, like, no. I'll tell you later.
Why can't you say anything?
No, I just, because everything's through a certain lens right now.
Oh, that's so interesting. Through the lens of the Olympics?
Through the Olympic lens. With Paris coming up and all. But I, I'm just, like, there's so much about me that I just... I wonder if I'll ever be able to change. Do you know what I mean?
I think you've already changed so much since I've met you. It's kind of amazing.
But I'm still such a mess. It's
no, you're
not.
Frustrating. You're literally, look, when I met you, you didn't have a job or a penny to your name.
Yeah.
Now you're stressed because you have too many jobs and you're looking and running better than ever. And you are getting a little bit of something I like to call a kiss on the face.
So what I'll say is that, no, but even, like, my apartment is so messy, I can't seem to clean it. Like, there's just certain, like, everywhere I go, you know, I feel like I leave this wake of disaster. I can't, there's certain things about myself I want so badly to change, and I've tried for my whole life, and I think I never can, and it's alarming, because I think it'll be really frustrating to anyone who was unfortunate enough to find themselves in my kind of sphere. Do you know what I
mean?
That's
how I feel about my relationship with food. I'm like, wow, I've been trying not to eat this food for about 25 years, and yet I eat it, and then I complain, and then I cry, and my jeans actually haven't been fitting for 25 years, regardless of what size I am.
Yeah, I'm going to run that walk. I need to run that walk back to therapy because something is poking at my own insecurities around how I look, if that makes sense. Do you know
something's
what I mean?
Poking?
Do you know it's poking? Mm-hmm. It makes so much sense that would poke, but I just feel whatever. So anyways, my running is not, this week has been a real bad week of running because of travel, and like I just, for like six consecutive nights, I got like 5 hours, and I can't do that. And like,
I know.
And then, and yeah, last week I fully broke down running wise, and this was going to be a down week anyways, but I did my first little track workout yesterday, and it went all right. But I think because I had that really good race in January, I got in this hole where I was like, leading up to that race, every workout was like very workout based. There was no expectations. It was like effort based, and I just, and then once I ran that race, I was like, okay, well, if I could run 5:38 for 10 miles, then like every workout needs to be at this pace, and that's what I should be able to do and whatever. But I just wasn't there, and I ended up getting myself in a real hole.
I'm sorry to hear that my friend's in a hole.
Now, I did something kind of I wish I didn't do, which is I bought so many chocolate chip cookies.
That's something I wouldn't really want to indulge in.
They've become one of my favorite foods.
What kind? What brand?
So when you're ordering from a supermarket on Uber Eats, you actually have to cast a wide net because they're not going to have anything that they've
pictured. No, they're definitely not going to have what you order.
So you need to cast a wide net so that, like, hopefully they'll have at least one thing that you order. So I ended up getting, like, some Chips Ahoy and some, what's that brand where everything's, like, named after a town?
Yeah.
Like, Milano's are part of that brand. Pepperidge.
Oh, like Provincetown or whatever. Like
Nantucket.
Provence.
Provence.
What about Tate's? I love Tate's chocolate cookies.
I love Tate's. I definitely love Tate's.
Do you dunk them? Do you dunk them in milky milk?
Maybe, like, if I was someone who, like, you know, had a refrigerator stocked with milk and all those things.
Right, that's someone you're not yet. No offense.
No, but, like, one day I will.
Well, you know, I only really like wet foods, so I don't like a cookie unless I can dunk it.
You only like wet foods, like a cat.
Yeah, I'm like a cat. I'm like a kitty cat, meow, meow.
Yeah.
I hate when food is dry. It's so awful. I like when it's smothered in sauce. And every time the restaurant gives you sauce, I know I'm going to need to ask for more.
When I was little, we had to feed my neighbor's cats, the Zuckers. And like,
shout out
to the Zuckers. I was so like, I hated the wet food. It really grossed me out. Mm-hmm. And like it established a lifelong like negative relationship with cats with me. And then when we got our dog, we were deciding what to name it. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to name our dog Sandy because it was sand colored. No, definitely not from Annie. Just it was
sorry,
my own creation.
I thought you were gay.
And so it just because she was sand colored, but my mom wouldn't let us name her Sandy because Mrs. Zucker had just died and her name was Sandy.
Oh
so
my God,
my mom
that's
was like,
so dark.
We can't be shouting out Sandy if it gets
away.
Wait,
that because is so then dark.
It'll be too sad for Mr. Zucker. And I was like, I don't care.
That is so sad. Your mom was 100% right. You know, my brother adopted a dog, and before he changed the name, the dog was named Shooter.
Ew, like
you can't be in a dog park yelling Shooter.
Oh my God,
that's
yeah.
insane. I was like, okay.
It's so funny to me when people say adopted a dog, because it's like, you don't need to say adopted. Like, no one thinks you biologically birthed this dog. You know what I mean?
No, but it's like, in this case, it actually was necessary because it wasn't like he bought a dog and named it Shooter. It was like the dogs come with a name and a story. And then you
totally.
Are there.
Totally. Like Beanie Babies. And they come with a poem.
They come with a poem and a little, around their collar, there's a little tag that says, "Red roses are red, violets are blue." I have to say, first of all.
Let's make a Beanie Baby. I don't know, a Beanie Baby poem, it would be like, Sandy loves to slink to and fro, but you never know where she might go. Mm-hmm. Sandy loves hugs and, of course, banana. And
top rhyme you chose. You set yourself up to fail, dude. Self-fulfilling prophecy, dude. You're self-sabotaging yourself, dude.
But will you collect them all, even his friend Joanna? Because then there's like a companion Beanie named
Banana Joanna.
Joanna.
That's really good.
Thank you.
You should be a writer.
Because sometimes, like, in canon, like, Beanie Babies are, like, supposed to be friends with each other.
I love that.
Do you agree? Do you agree?
Gun to my head, do you agree? Do you agree, I said. Sorry, go ahead.
Go. Gonna say, I remember there was a monkey named Bongo and a monkey named Congo, and they were like meant to be friends.
Totally. I have to address something. Well, I'll wait till our guest gets here to address it because it's my new lifestyle. But yeah, I've been living. I saw two Broadway shows this week, and they were both amazing, and it was so
invigorating. Which ones?
I want everyone to go see these shows if they can. I saw friend of the pod Ben Platt in Parade.
Oh, how was it?
Which is one of my favorite shows of all time. It was so, so good. He is just, I mean, to hear that voice in real life is a gift. And the actress who plays his wife, Michaela Diamond, is so talented. It was psychotic. I had full body chills. It's such a moving, beautiful show that's been devastating at the same time. And then last night, I wanted to go see, you know, Sam Morrison. I wanted to see his stand-up show, Sugar Daddy.
I have no idea what that is, but I love him and support him.
But I asked for tickets for the wrong month, so I walked into the Soho Playhouse last night, and I was like, hey, I'm here to see Sam, and they were like, it's not happening tonight, and I was like, and young Catherine would have put her head between her legs and went home, and I said, no, I'm going to see a show tonight, so I went uptown to see the Broadway musical Kimberly Akimbo, and it was so good.
I want to see that, because I love that girl Bonnie.
You love who?
Bonnie Milligan.
Oh my god, Bonnie was so good. It was crazy. I'd seen her like in Search Party and stuff, but I guess I hadn't seen her. I knew she had a crazy voice, but seeing her live was, I mean, it's just crazy. Like she was so funny. Her voice sounded unreal. The show is actually funny, which I know you, like I was shocked.
No, I could believe it. Well, what I'll say is
my brother, you know, Billy, shout out, was like, you have to see it. And I was like, I'm not going to like it. And then I loved it. So I'll say.
Well, you know, in a way, you made your own Zoom link last night.
What does that mean?
Like how I...
Yeah, I did. No, that's exactly what I'm saying. Young me wouldn't have had the wherewithal to go uptown, but I did.
To upgrade to pro.
I upgraded to pro. I got myself into pre-platinum, Delta, plus silver, extreme. Yeah. I got an email from United Airlines being like, now's your chance to upgrade to like premium status. All you have to do is pay us $1,600. I was like, no, I'm not paying you.
It's not a reward.
To go nowhere?
It's so interesting that I'm like, it's like how I'm WME and you're CAA, that like I'm Delta and you're United. You know what I mean? Okay, I'm going to let our guest in.
Okay, wait. I'm actually so excited for our goose.
Me too.
We wouldn't have done this for another goose, I feel.
Oh, wait. It's just, okay. He's in. He's connecting to audio.
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
It almost didn't happen.
Can he see or hear? No. No.
No.
Evan, can you see and hear us? I can't apologize enough for how we are.
I can't apologize enough for everything that's happened today and last night.
And I know you and Pat have been through a lot this morning via text, but are you okay to record on your end? And by the way, Allison, keep this in. Keep this sort of admin, because this is what you guys don't see. Evan, we're doing this podcast without our training reels, because our producer can't be here. And so this is our first time using the app Zoom together.
It's the sensation that we used to always say about the podcast of a car rolling down a hill and we're trying to stop it.
So in other words, I've gotten into the car as it's rolling down the hill.
Yes.
Well, yes, okay, cool. Yes, yes.
And
yes,
we yes. wouldn't, yeah, and we only wanted you in the passenger seat. There was no one else we would have rolled down the hill for.
Great. Well, if anyone's going out that window.
Getaway car.
Getaway car. Whoa. Okay. We are so excited to have it. We've been trying to snag this guest for, I would say, decades now. And we are just such big fans. I think I famously once said the funniest Instagram account. And I stand by that because this week, well, we'll get into it because you brought us something really special this week. But put your ears open, Seek Treatment listeners, for Evan Ross Katz.
Hello. Oh, my God. Hello. Evan,
I'm so sorry for what happened.
I'm sorry about my friend, the way he treated
you. Are you mad at me? I'm going to have to jump ahead to our ending segment and say, are you mad at me?
I'm not mad at you. I don't get annoyed with people that often.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Honey, you're not going to be at home here.
Yeah. And also, honey, smoke. That was disconcerting because it was like, I was like, are you mad at me? Instead of being, no, it's like totally fine. Like, I get it. It's like not that bad what you did. It was kind of like, what you did is really bad, but I'm the kind of person who like can forget.
Yeah. It's all about framing.
Totally. Yes. But Okay, cool. But
so to clarify, now, you are in New York City.
Which makes me wish we were doing this in person a million times over.
Well, Evan, I have to address something up top because I need you to know this is not my home. This is, I'm in a literal gamer chair because this is my boyfriend's apartment. Look at this.
It's dark.
No, it's really scary, but this is worse. This is like actually serial killer. I can't. Yeah.
He's got a lot of clothing.
Well, it's obviously mine that I dumped on the bed. Okay. But the fact that he has this gamer chair is, it's just not right.
And you're sure you want to make this relationship work?
How committed?
I'm too deep, honey. I'm too deep. He's an amazing man. So I tried to clarify this. I wanted you to know, as someone who I've never met in real life, but I've admired from afar, that this is not my space.
Noted.
Okay. Yeah.
So how are you doing?
Me? I am well. I love a Saturday morning. I'm very energetic on a Saturday morning. I feel very optimistic about the state of the world. So it's a good time for me to be podcasting.
Oh, wow. Good. Sometimes, okay, yeah. Because for me, if I love a Saturday morning, like, that's not a time that I want to be podcasting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, this is an interesting question. I've often thought about this with other podcasters. Like, what is your ideal podcast recording looking like? Are you an evening girls? Are you morning girls? Weekends? Midday?
Yeah, we used to always record at 10 a.m. on Fridays in person.
That was the golden age.
The golden age. And, like, that was special. Except that I always had to go straight from there to nannying, and so I was kind of, like, depressed when I was there. But otherwise, it was really fun.
But lately, I feel like we're in a transition period because we're so disorganized lately that I'm constantly, like, lying on the floor in another country from Pat, like, screaming and not hearing each other. And so we're trying to find a new rhythm that works for us. But
we're trying to find a new normal.
What's your ideal podcasting sitch?
So I don't love a Friday morning, interestingly enough, because I feel like the energy on a Friday morning is almost, like, too calm for me because it's, like, everyone's getting ready for the weekend. I'm, like, a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday morning girl. Those are all sweet spots for me. I have to avoid a Monday or a Sunday because I feel like that's when you get into Sunday scaries and then Monday readjusting to life. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you're in the thick of it, but everyone's engaged enough. They're not as laissez-faire as I think on a Friday.
Totally.
This is Sunday. Sunday to me is I'm lying on the floor. I'm watching like Wonderful World of Disney movie on ABC as like a 12-year-old. It's like Brandy's Cinderella. I'm having the time of my life. My mom comes in. She's like, why did Diane just say that Amanda said you had a project tomorrow? Do you have a project due tomorrow? Did you start it? And then, like, it's, like, so... And I just, like, am so freaked out. You know what I mean?
You know, I had a dream last night that I gave birth to a baby named... Ready for this? Trishy.
Oh, Trishy.
Is that doing anything for anyone? Trisha, but Trishy. I was like, oh, Trishy would be cute. And then we were in these... I won't get into it because I don't want to bore you. But then I woke up and realized I'd forgotten to take my birth control pill. So Trishy was there saying, you're not ready for me, ma'am.
A voice of reason. You know, Trishy, I'm going right to Trish Stratus. I was a big WWF person
me
growing
too.
Up. Yeah, I think a lot of gay people, we had a strange connection to the WWF. Well, and not even a sexual one. Like
totally. I will say, like, Trish Stratus was a real boon for me because, like, I could feel sexual towards her. Do you know what I mean?
It didn't feel like you had to fake it.
Even though to this day, I could jerk to Trish Stratus if gun to my head. If someone had a gun to my head and forced me to.
I bet she'd be really proud to know that.
1,000%. She would love it. I wonder where she is now and, like, what she's doing and, like, what
I have a feeling she's doing well. I bet you she'd be one of those people if we were to Instagram, like, look her up on Instagram, she'd have, like, over a million followers and just have a career success that's just not on our radar, but is, like, totally on the minds of many.
I actually lately have been, I really need a German word for that feeling when there's someone you've never seen before in your life and then you click them and then they have, like, 16 million followers and you're like, who are you for? And where do I live?
1,000%. We do need a word for that.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on.
There's a lot now, of that going on.
Okay, Evan, wait, before we transition, how many followers do you both think that Trish Stratus has?
I don't know who that is what I'm going to say.
She was, like, iconic of an era of WWE.
She was iconic of an era is a sentence that makes me want to immediately go to the hospital. Well, she was iconic of an era.
She was put through a table. She was the only female to ever be slammed through a table by the Dudley Boys. So that's huge. I will guess that Trish Stratus herself has 800K.
Okay, Trish Stratus has 2 million, and her fourth to most recent post has over 30,000 likes. So she's not only largely followed, she's largely engaged with. So I bet you there's a swath of listeners saying, I'm already putting respect on Trish Stratus's name. Where have y'all been? So
yeah. I will say, I will take credit for including Trish Stratus's name in the first season of Hacks when Marcus's mom said, that woman had quite a chest, quite a chest. you know, what was I going to say? Now, Evan, even though you're a quintessential New Yorker, I did think you were LA just because like, when someone's in that moment, only because...
Is it because he's blonde right now?
Because you're blonde right now, you went blonde, and also, like, if most quintessential New York people actually live in LA, for one, and for two, if you're in New York, if you're gay, but I don't see you every single day, then I think you're LA. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I just, like, and I'm not one of those people that has, like, a strong disdain towards people in Los Angeles. I just don't, I don't like that you think of me as that.
Right.
And I don't.
And that's
and
not
I
a
don't.
Superiority thing. It's nothing like that. It's just like, if my it's energy identity. Is giving you that, I feel like I'm sort of something I'm doing is not.
I think
vibing.
What you're doing is like being successful. And so we assume that you must be like far from us.
Totally. Yeah. There's no way something successful could be near me in my town.
No, no one would
take
be
a look
in,
at my bank
Bush-
account.
As someone who's in Bushwick with a gamer racing chair in front of a pile of dirty clothes, I don't feel particularly connected to LA at this moment, but I have been there.
I don't even think of Brian as one who games.
No, never I want to be actually, in a specific chair. This is too boring to even say out loud, but someone who used to live in this apartment left this chair here.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so like no one did anything wrong.
No, it's not his fault.
Yeah.
It's not my fault. I'll never forget. I scrolled on a TikTok the other day that said, it was this woman saying, it didn't happen to you, it happened for you. I started sobbing uncontrollably in my bed. So I just wanted to share that.
Wait,
that
I will say, like, I will say that I saw something on maybe Instagram or maybe somewhere else, and I forget where. And it was like how to reframe things. And even when a therapist, like, is like, okay, well, how can we reframe this and give you a tool? I'm like, fuck off. Like, I do not want to reframe. I'm not here to reframe. Like, and I mean, I'm here to reframe. I'm here to feel interesting. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm not here for any practical tools. I want to like feel like. I contain multitudes, and I'm like, I want you to be gasping at everything I say. But anyways, I saw this one reframing tool that actually been helpful, where it's like to look at when you have to do like stupid little chores that annoy you, instead of thinking I have to do this, think I deserve this thing. So it's like, I deserve a well-made bed. I deserve a really clean apartment.
I like that.
I deserve to like eat a healthy meal, like those types of things. I deserve to express myself through creative writing, like these.
Wow. I love that.
That seems very healthy.
It's so healthy.
Too healthy, in fact. So healthy that it's...
It's orthorexic. It's orthorexic.
It's ortho...
It's or- it's,
you wait.
It's spiritual,
you have a disorder.
Orthorexia.
You have a disorder. Yeah. We need to go to the doctor's office. Let's dive right in because, Evan, we're so curious. On this podcast, we basically only ask one question. It's who were you, who are
were
you,
you,
and
who
do
you
want to be?
And who do you want to be, even?
Go.
Yeah. Well, where did you grow up?
Where did it all begin?
I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in a suburb about 8 miles south of Pittsburgh called Mount Lebanon, where our most famous export would be Joe Manganiello. I went to the Mount Lebanon premiere of Sam Raimi's Spider-Man because our little town threw a premiere for Joe Manganiello.
Oh my God.
I grew up there. I went to the Performing Arts High School in downtown Pittsburgh, our most famous alma mater being Billy Porter.
Yes.
Catch him in a tuxedo dress on a carpet near you. And then I moved to New York to attend NYU.
Oh my God.
Oh,
and
I didn't know you were NYU.
And what did you stud?
I don't associate as an NYU alumni. That's probably what you didn't know, but it is a part of my trajectory.
Right, it's a part of the story. And then to take a step back, one of the main questions we ask is, did you hook in high school?
Yeah, were you out? Were you being gay? Or were you, like, sucking, fucking? Like, what's going on?
Were you sucking and fucking, or were you shaming and gaming?
Were you sucking junior year? Were you sucking junior year?
I transferred between my freshman and sophomore year to the Performing Arts High School, like, from my town to the Performing Arts High School. So I was afforded an opportunity that I wish more people had, which was that I was able to go to a new school where I could just start as openly gay. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to have like a coming out moment, because I think the hardest thing about a coming out for so many people is it's this idea that like the declarative nature of it is just overwhelming. It's not the fact that you're coming out as gay, it's the fact that you're like making a declarative announcement about who you are to people is just an inherently strange thing to do. So I just entered this new school being gay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still did like come out to my parents and whatnot, but like, I just think the process of a coming out is so uncomfortable that we talk about it through the lens of like, the like what it means to come out as gay, but it's also just like, just practicality wise, totally. I think it's an odd concept.
Totally. That being said, I hate when people are like, no one should have to come out. I'm like, yeah, you should. You know what I mean?
I think you're actually saying the opposite thing. You know what I mean? He's like, no, I actually just said the opposite of what
except for when you, the only instance where you should not have to come out is when you transfer to a performing arts high school between freshman and sophomore year.
In Pittsburgh.
Yeah, totally.
8 miles south of Pittsburgh.
That hyper common experience.
Was it filled with gays? Because of how
was
gays
it riddled
are about
with,
the
was
arts.
Your school riddled with gays?
Did they have a gay problem?
Yeah,
did they have
we
a gay
had
problem?
Definitely like... We had a high populace of gay, but it was also like a very diverse subset of gay because, you know, had I stayed in my suburb, I would have gotten like suburban gay.
Yeah.
And I went to a city school, which meant there were people coming from all different parts. So like my idea of what it means to be gay is not, you know, I had more than just like, it wasn't just Jack or Will from Will and Grace. Yeah. It was like, I had ancillary characters as well.
That's amazing. To have those ancillaries.
And was your family, family supportive of your gay journey and your creative performing arts journey?
Yeah, almost too supportive, wow. Annoyingly enough. But like, yes, I've never had an experience where it's funny, the older I get, the more I reflect on this because I hear about people's stories that are so other. But yeah, like being gay was never a big deal at all. So it wasn't that they were like so accepting. It was just something that wasn't really centralized in the conversation just because it was always sort of accepted, which is a lovely thing. But it wasn't like they were like, oh my God, like they weren't like in PFLAG or anything. But like, I also think that's like, I'm lucky that I didn't mm-hmm. have that kind of parent. I don't think that would have fit for me. But yeah, it was always just acceptance was sort of the baseline, which is like, I guess kind of like lovely.
What everyone deserves. Yes.
What everyone deserves. Yeah.
But I don't deserve it. So it's like, I wish that for others.
You deserve it. You deserve a made bed. You deserve to,
you deserve to eat a healthy
express
meal.
Yourself. Yeah. You deserve to eat a healthy meal.
But I have to say, like, there's no conversations I'm more interested in having than with queer people about coming out. It's just that my own is, like, not what I'm interested in. I'm interested in how learning about how just fucking normal mine is to me. Mm-hmm. But then, like, having my paradigm altered by the fact that, like, my normal is, for many, idealistic. And that's something that's, like, whoa.
Totally.
I remember, I remember one time my dad was like explained to me what gay and lesbian was. And then he was like, and if that's what you are, that's okay. And then I was like, I know, isn't that sweet? But then I was kind of like, I sort of knew it wasn't.
I was like,
yeah, it's like, then why'd you say that? I was like, okay, yeah. But then why'd you make a point of saying that to me? Anyway. Yeah, totally.
But you know what's funny though, thinking about like coming out, because I don't disagree with you, Pat, but it's also like one of those things where it's like, you have instances in which it's like, there are current celebrities that are in the zeitgeist right now who are LGBTQ+ identifying, but haven't come out publicly. And there's a lot of like murky discourse around like, is it okay to identify someone who is like not in the closet but hasn't come out as LGBTQ+. Like, where's the line?
I know. I'm not sure.
I feel like the new coming out is just being like, I'm dating this person who happens to be of this gender identity or whatever.
Right.
And then everyone's like, ah!
Yeah.
I'm obviously wondering who you're thinking of specifically, but we'll save that. We'll bleep it. We'll keep it respectful. Now, let me ask you this. So, were you an actor at the Performing Arts High School?
No, thankfully not. I was in, like, the technical theater track.
Wow.
So I was pursuing, like, stage directing, but I was also, like, really heavy into stage management.
Oh, my
like,
God. Were you stage wearing managed... cargos?
You were crew?
Definitely. Yeah, I was crew.
Wow.
But I was, like, in the booth, not
you just
backstage.
Came out. Well, guess what? You just finally got your coming out story because you came out as crew.
Right? Came out as crew? But I'm, like, very, like, headset girl. Like, that was me, like, back in the theater.
I love that.
But like stage managed, Parade, Aida, Pippin. Like,
you know, I was just telling Pat that I saw Parade this week and it was so. Have you been yet?
I haven't been.
It's so good.
And I'm super excited to see it. I don't love the marketing.
Oh, what's the marketing? I haven't really.
I feel like focusing on the. Is it All the Waste of Time
that they've been. No.
Not that one. What's the other duet that happens in Act 2? Yes. I just feel like that's like not the song that like I want to see pumped out for the show.
Yeah,
you know what you're giving is crew. You're giving behind the scenes.
Headset is on and is activated.
Yeah, the headset's on. Yeah.
But totally on my list, and I'm also very here for like a Ben Platt redemptive moment because I think people were really, really hard on him.
I love him.
And so I'm all about like having this next act for him because I think he's really talented.
Oh,
yeah,
he's so talented. I had full body chills. I was like, oh, this is just when you're watching someone do what they were born to do. It's really powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that how you feel when you see me podcasting? creating a Zoom link at 10:30 a.m. that I've never.
Oh my God. It was. I never thought I'd see the day when Pat sent me a Zoom link and was like, let me. Are you? And when he said, are you in the waiting room? I was like, wow, he even knows like the language.
Yeah, totally. It's. And I want to just thank all my mentors and people I've been able to look up to who have hosted Zooms. And I've been able to hear them use that language and think I can see it, I can be it, and become someone who's letting people in from a waiting room.
I mean, I feel like there's such a huge culture around like being either a podcaster or just someone that's in Zooms a lot, especially when there's like recording involved, just around handling different situations. Have you ever had it where like their audio keeps going in and out and they're like on a long important rant about something and at first you're like, oh, I'm just like missing a word, but then all of a sudden you're like whole sentences are going and they think I'm hearing them, so I have to like step into like performance mode where I'm like, okay, how often do I nod? But what happens if they're like, yeah, I like got into neo-Nazism and I'm like nodding, you know what I mean? Like, it gets confusing.
Totally, 1000%.
I feel that way in real life conversation too. Like, I don't hear something or I'm like space and then I'm like, that is so real.
Yeah,
that is so real to you and me.
Yeah, thankfully there's a lot of like just things you can insert like that, which are sort of like all purpose.
100%. Yeah, thank God for the sentence that is so real, because like it is such a tool that we all have.
I go into my Instagram therapist toolbox and I say that's so real. Now let me ask you this. So when you got to NYU, here's what I'll say. When you got to NYU, what was that about? What was that like?
That was probably like one of the darker times in my life, in that I just like, and this is super judgmental and I'm not proud of it, but it is real. I think I have a hard time being around like groups of theater people at a time, because there's something specifically, and I will say in our brains, I identify as a theater person, where we're all sort of craving the same type of validation. And I think having us all together, for me at that really, really formative time in my life, I don't think it was like the most, I don't like the word healthy, but I don't think it allowed me to grow in ways that I think like in my late 20s, I sort of did a lot of the growth and development that I wish could have happened earlier.
So, now, but when you got to NYU, had you put the headset down and stepped into the light or not yet?
No, I've never been an actor.
But you're
or
in
anything.
The light. You're in the light. You might not be an actor, but you are in the light.
You're firmly in the light.
You're firmly in the light.
You're in such the light that I thought you lived in LA. I know I'm gonna like stop with this, but like I never thought you lived in the light. I just like haven't slept for a week is the problem. And like
you're okay, Pat. You're safer. You don't need to excuse your behavior.
There's other reasons to that. I was just I'm also going to LA next. I just was like in a
So it was about you. Like, this was really about you.
Actually so much more about me than it is about you, which is I'm the first person who's ever said that. And like I do think
the funny thing is we knew this all along.
1000%.
But we're allowing you to have your moment of realization and we're nodding along with you.
And I appreciate it.
And I'm not like, hearing a word either of you were saying, by the way.
Yeah. You're both that's so real and you're both that's
that
so real.
That is so
and
real, Pat.
It's time to be that so real. I'm just someplace where I'm like everyone lives in LA because I just live in LA. Do you know what I mean? And I'm going back to LA next week.
In my college musical theater comedy troupe called the Triangle Club, shout out, I sang a song called It's So Real, and in one of our performances I forgot the words and I said, instead of saying it's so real, I said, and now we're in the show. And now we're in the show. So
that's a good lyric. It's true.
It was true at that point, you know. By the way, Evan, I've been to Pittsburgh because my boyfriend went to Carnegie Mellon and it's so beautiful.
It's great. I'm a huge Pittsburgh enthusiast. Also, yeah. If anyone listening is looking for the best restaurant in Pittsburgh, which was recently put on the New York Times 50 best restaurants in America, there's a place called Apteka. Great. I can't even spell it. Apteka. I love when I listen to a podcast and someone offers like a local suggestion of like, when you're in this town, look up this thing. I'm like very prone to do that. So if you are listening and you're in Pittsburgh, Apteka.
Wow.
Okay, cool. What kind of food we have a huge Pittsburgh following.
We probably do.
I can't go to Pittsburgh because I get absolutely swarmed by the Paps. I wish I could go to Pittsburgh and enjoy that lovely food, but I value my privacy. I value my privacy too much.
Yeah, no, you're in LA.
Yeah, I'm in LA.
Exactly. LA is a state of mind. So then, how did you climb out of that dark, dark NYU hole and become the beautiful, lit being you are today?
That's so sweet. I think that I got really lucky in terms of timing because I graduated from NYU in 2011, and it was like when the internet was still a little bit much more Wild West, but also a little bit more fun, and there were more opportunities out there, and like I had a tenaciousness that was born out of like sending written letters when I was a kid. Like I would write fan mail, like handwritten fan mail to Sarah Michelle Gellar, etc. So I had sort of like a veracity with how to pursue opportunities. Whereas like now it's like I can just DM someone and that's a lovely thing and it's great. But I think it's important to have like to have learned a way in which it was a little bit more challenging, you know, that I had to sort of like, I remember like opening the Yellow Pages and like I have all of those core memories of like having to fight for opportunities. So I came out of school and I was like determined to be a writer. There were less websites at the time and there were less people that like identified as freelancers. And so I sort of just like busted my ass, like writing cover letters and reaching out to people and like making connections and like trying to get opportunities. And like a lot of people like, I think just said yes, because again, it's like there were less people doing it at the time. So sort of like, okay, like we'll throw you some money to write about this.
Yeah. So
you have to ask for what you want. But I'm bad at that. But
as we've been talking about your journey, we have had our Miranda hats on, and I want to put our Charlotte hats on for 1 second and say, did you have a boyfriend in high school and did you have a boyfriend in college? And if the answer to both those questions is no, is then when did you get your first boyfriend?
Okay, and so how was I never had a boyfriend ever until I got my fiance.
Oh my God. You went straight to fiance.
Did he come as fiance?
Or yeah, no, he arrived and it was like there was a ring attached to him. And
straight to fiance.
No, I mean, I dated people, but like never had someone. I had like a guy that was like borderline boyfriend, but like retrospectively, I'm like, I wanted it annulled.
Evan Ross Katz retrospective, he will not be.
It's like he's not a part of it.
He will not be honored.
We went through, we deleted the Instagram post, etc. I would say Billy is like my first like important figure in my life. There he is right now.
Wait, his name's Billy?
Does he care about us?
Billy?
Does he know about us?
Billy,
like
my brother's. Hey, that's my brother. Tell him it's my brother's name.
Tell him back.
No, he gets like so excited because he can always hear when I'm talking about him on a podcast. Aww. And then he'll just sort of like pop up.
Oh my God, that was really cool.
So he's born and raised in the Upper East Side and someone who hadn't come across the water much as Upper East Siders tend to do. And once we got him over here, it was sort of like, wait a minute.
Okay, I have to go back one more time and be like, were you and Billy like this morning like, drinking coffee and then you like got the thing, you're like, Pat like gave me the wrong time for today.
I can picture it. Let's do a play.
Yeah, okay. I'll be Evan and you.
I'll be Billy.
Okay.
Oh, God, I love, you know what? It's just so funny. I never came here growing up because that bagel place, they do an amazing whitefish salad.
Last night was really fun, but I'm really tired. Wait, I was supposed to do a podcast.
A podcast on a Saturday? I thought you preferred Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays in the mornings.
No, well, I'm in a really good mood on Saturdays, but I actually like podcasting on my good mood. So, but wait, he said one their time, but 10 our time. That doesn't make sense. We're on.
Well, maybe he lives on a houseboat in the Atlantic Ocean.
Let me text. Oh my God. He gave me the wrong time. Oh yeah. Okay. Hey, it's Evan. Wait, you said 1 o'clock your time. Mine. Do you mean one? Yeah, I'm in New York. I'm in New York.
I don't trust.
Yeah, he gave me the wrong.
You know what? That's really messed up. But I feel like the girl he does the podcast with, I feel like she wouldn't have done that.
She must have.
Huh?
Because I think that Pat probably even said to the girl he does the podcast with, like, okay, it's going to be 1 hour time 10 their time. So if she knew, then she would have corrected him at that point.
Wow. Well, okay, honey, let me give you some more coffee. And
yeah, give me some more coffee. I'm so tired.
And then we'll go back to just being normal fiancés. And scene. That's our play. Thank you for watching.
Is that how it worked?
That verbatim. It's so strange that you were able to lift the words right from reality. The one thing you missed was the specificity of where I got the coffee, but other than that.
Oh, totally. Did you pop out this morning?
I did. I can say this. My boyfriend grabs me coffee from his work regularly, so I usually have like a supply here, but we're out at the moment because he was out of town, so yeah, I had to venture out.
When you were like,
My boyfriend grabs me.
I thought you were gonna say, I was like,
yeah. I'm like, well, blink, I was like, blink twice if you're okay. Let me ask you this much. Now I have so many questions. Like, does he work at a coffee store?
No. Yeah. He works for Google. I can say that.
Oh my God. That's safe. It's okay to work for Google. Totally. It's okay. I've never done it, but it's okay if you want to.
I'll tell this story for the 19th time on the podcast. One time in my 20s when I was like really high, hadn't slept in days. Ended up hooking up with this guy from Grindr who worked for Google and lived over Google in Chelsea, like over Google.
That's my fiance. And... I'm just kidding. Billy, come back in.
And then I was giving him head, and halfway through the head, he was like, "I'm not into this," and I had to leave. Isn't that crazy?
Wow. Yeah.
Ask Billy if he knows the guy who lives above Google.
Now do back
and ask him what kind of. If he knows the guy who lives above Google, and ask him what kind of head that guy likes, because I would love to know for future.
Now, did that give you any kind of complex around your head giving prowess, or you was like, he doesn't appreciate the goodness of my head?
I honestly connected it more with like my general appearance. I was like, oh, he doesn't want head from a person who looks like this. Like that was kind of. But I also was like, I hadn't slept in days, so it was like, I was like, I'm sure I could do better, but. I was like, I'm sure with a fresh night of sleep, I could do way better than this. I'm sure I could have at least made it 3/4 of the way through.
The head I give when I'm well-rested. I mean, you can't imagine. When I'm sprightly, when I'm in bed, when I'm not afraid to, like, do a real squat and get on my feet, it's really powerful. Sometimes when I do that, like, sometimes when I get on top and I'm squatting for my feet, my boyfriend's like, whoa. I'm like, ew.
I know.
Don't act like it's a surprise. I'm not lame. I'm not beef whale.
I know. Also, like, that would be a cool name for a book or, like, an Oscar movie that's, like, The Head I Give.
The Head We Give.
Who is starring in it?
Who is starring in The Head We Give? I could see...
Who's the female lead in Shame?
Carrie Mulligan? Wow.
Carrie Mulligan. I feel like Carrie Mulligan's in this.
The head I give.
The head we give.
Oh, we give. Yeah. So it's collective.
Well, it could be the head she gives. The head she gives. The head they gave.
Or
it could be a play. It could be a play. And there's one at the end of Act Two. There's one line where he's like, and that is how I learned about the head I give.
You don't want to hear a single thing about the head you take. Because that's all the head I can give.
Yeah, and that's not a dry eye in the house.
And the poster is like Carrie Mulligan's face with like a black background, and there's like three other faces, but they're getting smaller behind her.
Yeah, and
what do you think of that marketing, Evan?
And there's four stars, and there's a quote that just says dazzling under it. Dazzling, the head I give, dazzling. Anyways,
back to business, which is...
Back to business.
So then we need to know how... So basically, that's kind of who you were, but who are you now?
Who am I now? That's a good question. I feel like I'm at a like transition point. I am someone who likes to talk about pop culture and do it. I'm reframing my own way in which I think about and then talk about pop culture in the present. I think I used to have a little bit more bite to me.
What do you mean?
I think that I used to, I would never say I veered into like the Perez category, but I used to sort of like relish more on sort of like pointing to out the things or people that I didn't like, or like making a snappy comment about something. I would say like I was more, I would go after low hanging fruit more easily at one point.
I know what you mean.
And where I'm moving now and like speaking about it, like honestly, it's like as I have a closer proximity to a lot of celebrities and they become more human to me, I'm less interested in calling attention to the negative and more sort of like, oh, I can use my platform to highlight Margot Martindale's red carpet. And like, that's something that it's like, brings me a lot of joy, and then I see it bringing other people joy, and I'm like, oh my god, like, it's so fun that we're, like, collectively celebrating Margot Martindale instead of, like, talking shit about some pop star, someone that I don't care about.
Right.
Totally, 1,000%. I even have gotten that way about, like, reality. I mean, of course I talk shit about reality TV, but even still, like, in the past couple years, there's been a voice that's like, why are you, like, attacking this woman? You know what I mean?
I know. Well, now now that we're all ready for this via social media, now we're all kind of in the public eye. And we've all gotten a taste of what it feels like to be scrutinized. And so it makes, when you say something about a celeb, you're like, wait, that person's probably in their house actually feeling like shit, even if they have a big and nice house.
You have to remember these people are in their houses.
The thing is, these people are in their houses. We might not believe it. These people are really in their houses.
Yeah.
And they might be more in their houses than us because they can't go out. They can't go. Totally.
They're like me in Pittsburgh. They can't go out. Anywhere. Can't go out.
Also, I feel like, and again, I think this is something that comes with age. I'm way more happy to be like publicly nice and privately cunty because I think that it's more fun to have like that group chat with which you kind of say some of like the things that you wouldn't put out there, because it's like being publicly mean only can then like hurt the person. But when you are with like a few of your closest Judies and you're kind of like, should we talk about the dress? Like, should we finally talk about the dress? Yeah. It's a lot more like fun because it's not harmful.
Totally.
And I feel like I get most of my pop culture news directly from your Instagram, which begs the question, how do you choose what to feature and what to say?
Not a ton of thought process, not a ton of like planning or strategy. I would say the one North Star for me is like, I never talk about anything that I'm not interested in. So a great example of that would be like, you'll never see me talk about the Kardashians in any kind of way on my Instagram ever, because I just don't have any opinion about them, negative or positive. So I just try to be really discerning about like, if it's not relevant to me, I'm not gonna talk about it just because it's popular, but I'm also not gonna shit on the thing that's easy. It's like, so because some people make a whole brand out of like hating on someone like the Kardashians, and it's like I feel like all I have in life is my taste, and my taste is like my, you know, again, my North Star. And it's like, so I just, the Kardashians are not something worth considering for me, whereas I'm like, let's consider Margot Martindale.
Yeah, and the taste is immaculate. As the kids would say, it's the taste for me. And
it's interesting. It's really evolved to even know if you have an opinion on the Kardashians, because I don't know if I have an opinion about them. Do you know what I mean? I might have an opinion about them, but I'm not sure if I do.
I feel like there is so much space given to forming opinions about them that I'm would be much more interested in like studying that phenomenon of like that. I don't even know what that is, but like the idea of like how much dedication people have to them, but less them and more like the way in which fandom can work when there's not a thing with which to be a fan of in the more concrete way that we're like accustomed to. So like thinking about like the fandom of Michael Jackson, it's like, oh, we know what you like, right? Like you like that music and that beat and the way it makes you feel and blah, blah, blah. I'm curious about this phenomenon of like standing things that don't have the same sort of creative output.
Totally.
Right. I remember I was watching the Challenge documentary about how the Challenge came to be. You're not Challenge, are you?
I am seasons. Well, I stopped at Fresh Meat, so I'm Challenge.
I will say that like there's some really good stuff that happens like in the few years after Fresh Meat. But I know I started with I think the first Battle of the Sexes, and then even still today, And but I will say like they did like a retrospective where they were like interviewing people.
Yes, I watched that.
And for some reason, and Kim K was in it, and she was like, I remember watching Real World, I think Seattle, and I remember thinking, I want my life to be on TV. And they were trying to posit that like the challenge is why Kim Kardashian came to be. And I was like, I don't think that's true. You know what I mean? And I was like, but I was like, Kim, why are you doing this? Like, money doesn't mean anything to you. Like, why are you why are you sitting down and interviewing for the Challenge retrospective documentary on Paramount Plus? You know what I mean?
Okay, so like, not to like go like totally conspiracy theorist, but like there is something happening right now, because think about it this way. So Paramount Plus that's who the Challenge is now produced through. And then the Kardashians is produced through Hulu, which is owned by Disney. And Disney and Paramount Plus are in theory rival platforms. Oh. But there's something happening right now where like the walls are starting to fall. thinking about the Traitors, for instance, where you had like cross network talent coming together for like this Peacock show with like, there's something going on because, you know, the Traitors had Survivor talent, which again is Paramount Plus, which is rivals of Peacock, but like, and yet, so like, there's something happening right now where like, I guess maybe is everything just folding in and going to become a megacorp and there's going to be like one source of entertainment?
Oh my God.
I think that would be amazing.
No, it's so scary.
I think that would yield amazing fruit.
That would yield amazing artistic output. That's scary.
Wait, so how did you get engaged? I don't understand.
Wait, so how did you get engaged to be married is more importantly.
How did I?
And how long have you been?
Well, we've been together.
Have you set a date?
We don't have a date for the wedding. We were together for...
And we will be there. And don't you worry. No matter whether or not you have a date, we're going to be there.
I can't wait.
Whether you have a date and whether we're invited, we will be there.
Well, if it's in Pittsburgh, Pat, are you coming to Pittsburgh?
It's not safe for you.
I will come in huge. I was going to say,
you need to do what Samantha did
over my head
on Sex and the City after the chemical peel, and she did like that big shawl. It's like, that's you.
1,010%.
We met like about it'll be 5 years this summer. How did I do it? I don't know. It felt like just the natural progression of things to do. And I try not to get into my head too much about like why I do the things I do. So I was just sort of like, it felt right. I'm like very like instinct driven. And then it just became a matter of like execute. I will say it's hard to execute something you know has to be iconic. But I'm also one of those people that's sort of like, if I like something, I kind of trust my gut always. So I was sort of like, okay, these are the flowers. This is the location. Mm-hmm. This is the timing. I was thinking a lot about the photos, who's taking the photos, the time of day. I got all that in order and then sort of just like, I'm a stage manager. Hello. I got, you know, run a show.
Right.
Totally. And then you said, thank God I never stepped into the light because now I'm finally ready to get engaged. But now, so you proposed and also how did you meet?
We met on Grindr.
Wow.
Yeah, I was a Grindr turned love.
Did it say interested in dating in his Grindr profile, and that's when you knew you had to tap?
I don't think I looked at the profile. I think I was pretty sold on the visual.
Wow.
So you go over, you hook up, he doesn't ask you to leave halfway through head, even though he works for Google.
The head you gave was better than the head.
The head you gave worked. Yeah. And then when were you like, okay, well, after everyone comes, when you're like, okay, well, should we still see each other?
I think I was more keen to like, I knew earlier on that I was like in it to win it. And then I think like for him, there was more like, he just became exhausted out of like my like just continuing to like be around. Then eventually he was just kind of like, okay, you can stay. But then I think
you
like,
wore him down.
Yeah, I wore him down. I mean, I think he would co-sign that. But I think like it was around the 6 month mark where are you gonna co-sign?
Philly. I know. No one knows what this podcast is. All right, you're not alone.
I love your robe.
You look really cutie patootie.
Can you hear us? No.
He can't hear you.
Plugs.
Oh no. You guys are so cutie.
Oh my God, you guys are adorable.
Yeah, he's like really coming in here.
get in the...
What is this? Oh, you came in like a fire... Wait, what is the lyric?
Wrecking Ball.
I don't love that song.
You came in like a... Oh, it's so good.
No, I think the verses are good.
Reconsider. Promise me you'll reconsider.
You came, you fell on your marshmallow. That is good.
But I think it was like 6 months in. We were sort of like, let's do this. And also, it's just like, I don't know, for anyone else that's like been in love, it's sort of like it's really easy to be together. We like have a good time. It's like,
and then you dare I say did the thing.
Like Ariana DeBose, we did the thing.
You gave us such a gift this week, like, and I liked your follow-up post as well, because it was a moment of celebration, because like it made me feel so happy to watch that video and then to send it to my friends and be like, this woman has given us such a great gift. And you're right, no one cared about the BAFTAs until yesterday.
Well, we can't be mad at people for being we can't be mad at people for thinking we might like if they were cringe, because it's like, sometimes we love when someone, like Nicole Kidman's like AMC thing is so cringe, but for some reason she's left it out. It's like, if we can't be like, why would you ever think we would like something cringe? Because we always love cringe things.
Yeah, no, AMC is a great example of like, I there's something about like when someone puts something out earnestly and then it's like immediately received by 100% of the people as like something completely not. I love that dissonance to me as like fascinating. Because like Nicole Kidman, I think this is part of the reason the commercial works the way it does, but it's like, that's a great example of like, Nicole Kidman did not go in to change the world. That was like a very quick check for her. And now it's like, you know, Moulin Rouge, the AMC commercial. It's like, that's a part of, like, you know, we're not going to be talking about the prom in 20 years.
Now, wait, what was I going to say? One thing I hate about Nicole Kidman AMC culture is, like, you can't see a movie anymore without, when that comes on, people, like, cheer and, like, recite it. And it's like, I just want to go over and tap them on the shoulder.
I don't think I've ever even seen it, if I'm honest.
I want to go and tap them on the shoulder and be like, you know that this is not a personality.
Right.
Do you know that? I just need, for me to enjoy the movie coming up, which I'm so excited about, I need to know that you know that this is not a personality.
Yes.
And it's okay. And you're not, and because you like it, you're not necessarily funny. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. I think that there's like a life cycle to these things. However, I will say, I think the ongoing aspect of the Nicole Kidman AMC thing that to me has like afterlife is just posting the image of her with the projector behind her as sort of to represent, I'm tuning in. So I like to use that in terms of, like, you know, it makes, there's just some of those images where you're like, this means something. So for instance, this might be a deep cut, but do you know that Keely Williams meme right now? Because she has the quote being like, I had a threesome with that band. And so now on Twitter, whenever people post the Keely Williams image and it means I want to have group sex with the other people in the image. Do you know about this?
No, I don't, but I need to see that. I think I'd That's have incredible. Good news for that.
I need to post that with the Oppenheim brothers.
No.
It's sort of like, the two nozzles going in? Two nozzles going into like one car thing, and if that's used a lot to need these guys to tag team me. Same idea. So anyway, I think that to me, it's like a good reaction image, but like, yes, in terms of, to your point, Pat, it's like, if you're still making that your personality in 2023, when we still haven't even gotten the sequel, it's time to move on.
It's time to
and just like, it's for to need to react in such a way in the theater in front of everyone, it's performance, and it's like,
but Pat, that's all some people have in this life. Like, that is their, like, you don't get to go on stage like you and make people laugh. It's like, someone is the funniest guy at their office because they're mentioning that. So we have to lift them up in some ways.
Totally. It's just hard for let it go. It's hard for me to let go.
They don't make it easy.
I believe Mariah Carey.
As my great-grandmother used to say.
Yeah, Mariah Carey has a whole album on the art of letting go.
Really?
Oh my gosh,
I really need to look. I've actually gotten really good at letting go. I feel like a different person lately.
It's funny. I kind of have like a little, like, I don't know so much about Mariah Carey, but I do, for some reason, Emancipation of Mimi was like huge for me.
Huge.
And I like love that one album.
Wait, sorry. I have to correct myself. It's a song, not an album. The Art of Letting Go. But it's a great song.
What does it sound like?
She pops off at the end. It's one of those classic Mariah slow builds. Like, I Can Make It Through the Rain, where it's like, you think she's just, you know, going to sing a little song, and then by the end, you're, like, literally welling up with tears, and you're like, oh, my God. Like, she delivered. She let it go.
Wow.
Did you know that me and her had the same elementary school music teacher?
I knew that.
That scans. Let me tell you this. I cried when I saw Glitter, and I couldn't believe that people were making fun of it. I thought it was so moving.
It's a decent film.
So,
Evan, are you saying? Are you saying? Are you saying?
I would say yes, but probably most people would say no.
Interesting.
Okay. Now let me ask you this, Evan. The last part of our question: who do you want to be? What's your dream? Because now you've built this, dare I say, empire.
You're friends with Sarah Michelle Gellar, which that is like crazy. You've like fulfilled every gay person, every gay boy born between the years
Bassett
of like
that.
1984 and like 1996 is like trying to, is like, that's the fantasy. Do you know what I mean? And you did it. You Angela Bassett did it. And you're going to be in the sequel to Andrea DeBose's rap next year, the BAFTA.
Ariana!
So, yes. Listen, if I can do anything, I just want, because there's this, I Know What You Did Last Summer reboot that's like in the ideation phase, and I'm just like trying to like wield my power to like wake Helen Shivers up, or like, I don't know, reverse engineer the plot of the first film, which ridiculously had like the most beloved character die.
Yes, well, I will say, you know, Hayden Panettiere is in the new Scream, so it's doable.
Yeah, I don't love comparing Sarah Michelle Gellar to Hayden Panettiere, to be honest.
And if y'all notice, I didn't do that, Evan. If y'all notice, and if y'all if y'all rewind the tape, Evan, I didn't do that. So do not,
do not
come for me like that. What we're not going to do is say that I compared Sarah Michelle Gellar to Hayden Panettiere on air.
Is that how you say her last name?
I think.
That's how I say it.
I could, in my mind, it's always
I'm being attacked by all angles. I'm in Pittsburgh. People are sniping me, shooting at me. I'm like literally just doing my best here on my podcast, which I created a Zoom link for out of nothing.
I think you're doing great. Out of nothing.
I was comparing the narrative device of bringing someone back. And I think if we can do it for Hayden, who I would never compare to Sarah Michelle, then we can certainly use that same power.
Right. A little bit it's like apples to oranges, in that like Sarah Michelle Gellar died in the film. Hayden Panettiere's...
But Hayden... No, she died in Scream 4.
She died in Scream 4.
Spoiler alert, boys.
And they're, wait, so they're bringing her back from the dead?
So, no. So, it's non-canon. She died in... Everyone take a deep breath.
You're stressing.
I didn't know she died.
Okay, so
I'm taking my hoodie off.
So
I'm sweating.
So, Evan, what you have right now is egg all over your face.
It's really dripping.
It's gross. I think in Scream 4, Hayden dies, but it's like... And now she's in Scream 6, so no one's exactly sure what's going to happen. But what I think is going to happen is they learn that, like, she was rushed to the hospital later. But it is different because Helen was found in ice.
Oh, and Hayden, you can't come back from ice unless you're Austin Kirby Powers, not, am I right, team?
Kirby's body was not found, but we saw her, like, be stabbed and die. And the movie was very much like, this person's dead, and they were. And then she did. And we never heard otherwise in Scream 5, and, like, she was dead. And now they're like, wait, she wasn't dead. So they would need to do something like that where, like, but they shot themselves in the foot by showing Helen... body in ice during
the famously the thing about ice, it melts.
Yeah,
wow,
totally. So maybe, like, I don't know,
that's real.
Maybe there's
that's
a way.
So I'm real saying, Evan.
I'm just saying a group of people were in a room and I think they rightly felt that Scream 6 needed some sort of homage besides Courtney towards the past of the franchise, mm-hmm. and they said, what if Kirby didn't die in Scream 4? What if we figured out a way that made it so that people thought she died, but she didn't.
I get it. So it's not pretty, but like I would have gone for Rose McGowan.
Oh, 1,000,000,000%. But she's someone who we truly saw be truly dead.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, yeah, yeah.
I've always said that all I've wanted out of Scream since Scream 1 is for there to be some element of emotional continuity where Dewey feels on some level sad that his sister was murdered. Like, he never cares again. And like, you would think every time this killer comes back, he'd be like, they killed my little sister in a garage.
That's fascinating. But like, right.
He's never mentioned it. And you could, and I'm always looking. I'm like, does he care? Does he care? And he never cares.
So it's kind of like the trauma arc that we got from Jamie Lee Curtis with Halloween. It's like we could have done like a Dewey sort of spin-off series in which he's grappling with like the trauma, this pent up
trauma,
unexplored trauma,
yes,
of his sister's death. I like where we're going.
They could have halved how much they explored it with Jamie Lee and moved that all into Dewey. Let's bring that same energy to Dewey. Me screaming.
Jamie Lee is all of us. Never forget.
Jamie Lee is all of us. And we one time, me and Catherine saw Jamie Lee Curtis present
a
group of young, promising, talented women with laptop computers.
And she said, she goes, finally, swag for people who will actually use it. Is what she said.
And she said, oh, I wish I had... She was like, oh, I'm jealous. And it was like, buy yourself a computer. You know what I mean?
But what I will say is that Jamie Lee presented the laptops, but it was actually TikTok star Addison Rae who handed them out in a red dress. And this was the time that we accidentally went to the Women in Breakfast event, which is a Women in Hollywood breakfast.
Wait, Women in Breakfast or Women in Hollywood at breakfast?
So it was Women in Hollywood breakfast,
but for us it was Women in Breakfast.
I like Women in Breakfast.
We kept calling it Women in Breakfast, yeah.
And the breakfast was ice cold, inedible, I will say that.
It was an ice cold egg bake.
Was Helen Shivers inside of it?
Yeah,
she was. And that's why she can't come back for the reboot. We saw her in an egg bake and now she cannot come back.
You can't come back from an egg bake. Now let me ask, so what is your dream, Evan?
Yeah, what is your dream? I'm sorry I took us down that Sarah Michelle Gellar.
I loved it.
Yeah, don't apologize.
I was able to take my hoodie off at that time.
I don't know if I've really thought about that. My dream would probably be to continue to do what I'm doing. I really, like, I'm having a good time. I'm really happy. I feel like I love talking to people like you all. I love following people like you all. I would just say, like, more.
Oh, yeah. I love that. You really bring so much joy.
Thank you.
Yeah, truly.
So we're grateful. Now, this next segment of our podcast is called Crush of the Week. And does anyone have a crush of the week?
I have a few this week. Okay.
You go first.
Mine are pretty non-sexual crushes, which they can. They can be sexual. Mine are almost always sexual. But for me, like, I did an amazing long run in Vancouver with two girlies, the Digby sisters. They're literally so fast. I didn't realize it was actually humiliating because, like, I felt under underfit to even accompany them on a run, but they were so nice and chatty and fun. And we kept running into like people they had like seen on Bumble, and it was so much fun.
Oh my God, fun.
Yeah. And then secondly, Lauren Fleshman, because I just finished her book, Good for a Girl. And, you know, she was really the it girl of the NCAA cross country and track scene in like
the early aughts.
And she really was like rivals with, you know, Shalane and Kara Belcher and people who are now like titans of running. And she was too, but it was just really interesting to like hear her memoir about like, you really got all the tea, and she was really candid, and she even got into the contract numbers, and that is really opaque in professional running. And so it was really cool. And she's just always been such a good writer. And I remember reading her blog in like 2010 and being like, oh, this girl. And then I posted about it, and she DM'd me thanks for reading and sharing.
Wow. Can I ask you, Pat, like, how deep into like running culture are you? I know that you're like, I know you do marathons, right?
Yeah. He's never raced a full marathon. It goes deep. I'm very deep. I follow NCAA and professional running very, very closely. There's actually a meet right as we are chatting in Birmingham. No, I'm not going to watch this one. There's no one like huge for me in it. There's this one British girl named Keely Hodgson who's like, there's like an iconic battle right now in the World 800 scene between, we have this girl, Thing Mo, who's so fast and won Olympic gold and World Championships gold the last 2 years. And she's like truly 19. But then Britain has this girl named Keely who got silver both those years, and she's truly 19. So it's just like fun to follow that rivalry. And she's the only one I really truly care about who's in the meet, because indoors is always kind of like, it only kind of matters. So it's always kind of like, whatever, who cares? But I'm very deep, and I know everything about every runner.
Cool. Wow. I love a niche interest.
Me too. Yeah. I want more interests.
Yeah.
That have nothing to do with me.
Who's your sexual crush of the week?
Well, can I do a non-sexual one then first?
You can do both.
Okay, so my non-sexual one would be Elizabeth Banks. I just had her on my podcast, and I saw her film Cocaine Bear.
Oh, she was being so funny on your... I saw your clips. Well, I really want to see Cocaine Bear, and she was being so funny. And I loved what she said about Charlie's Angels, because I saw that in theaters.
It's fascinating. The whole story with her and Charlie's Angels and her sort of like... The studio sort of like throwing her... Not under the bus, but sort of like... You know, just being like, you go and deal with like the aftermath of this like supposed failure. Anyway, so fascinating. But I love Cocaine Bear. I think it is so funny. I just think it is such a bizarre film that like the fact that it got made and it has this awesome cast in it, it is like, it is exactly what the premise promises. It takes itself just the right amount of seriously. Like the calibration of tone should really be admired. It's really hard to do what this film is doing tonally, and it succeeds. And then some. So, like, totally go see Cocaine Bear. I feel like Cocaine Bear deserves the hype that, like, Megan has and had. And not to say, like, it doesn't have any hype, because I think people are pretty hype about Cocaine Bear. But, like, go see it is what I'm saying here. Okay, so then my sexual crush. He's not quite on my radar too much, but he popped up on the feed yesterday because I follow his stylist. His name is Adam Demos. He's the star of that show Sex Life on Netflix.
I love Sex Life.
Big fake dick.
Yeah, this is him.
Oh wait, let me see.
I actually was more attracted to the other guy on Sex Life.
Ew, I bet you were. I bet you were. Ew, that's so classic. I hate that guy.
But like, I'm definitely vibing, and he's just I like a simple Calvin Klein tank top on a red carpet moment. If you can pull it off. This
guy is. I did watch that. Did you watch that clip of Sex Life where he reveals his big dick?
His big prosthetic dick. Yeah, I have seen it a few times.
I've happened to see it.
I was not attracted to this guy on Sex Life for whatever reason. Do you think I can pull off a Calvin Klein tank top on the red carpet?
I think it's worth trying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's hard for me to visualize something I haven't seen.
I'm going to try it on the red carpet of your wedding.
Great.
That show was so crazy. Is that still on? That show was
It's had its second season premiere. That was what this tank top moment
was. Oh, I'm going to tune in. Yeah, tune in. I had my favorite line from season one was, you know, she was like cheating on him, her husband. And then like her husband was like coming home from work and like she was like off cheating on him. And her husband was like leaving her a message. He's like, honey, I'm on my way home. I picked up Raul's, and he had like a to-go bag. And for some reason, like just something about, like I picked up Raul's, like felt so written and funny to me.
I I didn't mean to be rude about the actor who played her husband. I just like the fact that you are attracted to that is so indicative of like where our types split. So I had to
totally.
Yeah, I don't have like a sophisticated taste when it comes to like hotness. Like I go after like Shawn Mendes. Like I don't have like a high for caliber sure. of like a nicely cute. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to Raoul's. You know what I mean? Like I'm going to like Cheesecake Factory.
Cheesecake Factory is fucking amazing.
Don't get me started.
Don't get her started.
My question.
No, I want a sexual one.
Yeah, no, it's.
I want a sexual. My non-sexual one would have to be. I already kind of said, but Bonnie Milligan and Kimberly Akimbo, Michaela Diamond, and Ben Platt in Parade. They were just. It's so amazing to watch performers like that. Just give it their all. I had full body chills. Now a sexual crush. I haven't really been horny this week, if I'm being honest.
To be fair.
Oh. Yeah, I don't. I did just watch the Casa Amor reveal on the most recent season of Love Island, but I won't spoil it.
Oh, I've kind of fallen off because now I'm doing...
It gets juicy.
I kind of got started on UK and Australia Traders, so now I'm like going back
UK Traders is so good.
Superior franchise.
I love...
Andrea.
So good.
Wait, don't say anything. I'm only like truly two episodes in.
I haven't watched the US one though, Evan. Did you like it?
I liked it. I would say the US is a B-. I would say the UK is an A+.
It's A plus. Oh.
Wait, US... keep your eye on Andrea. That's all I'm saying. That's not a spoiler.
Okay. I can't even picture
it. I mean, like, you right couldn't.
The thing about the trader. Oh, I love Andrea.
Do
I
you?
Think that.
Took you a moment.
Yeah. I don't know the names of anyone ever. Cool. I
know her name. Say her name.
Say her name. I will say that, like, The Traitors does do a thing where it starts with like 70 people. And so for the first eight episodes in, you're seeing someone you've never seen in your life before.
You get to know them pretty quickly.
Okay, but like, so to me, like one of the fundamental divides between these franchises happens in the first episode because to your point about like this overwhelmingly like robust cast, in the first episode of UK, this isn't a spoiler, immediately... No. Icon Claudia yes. Winkleman sends two people home before the game even begins, which is so satisfying, both because it's shocking and it's also like, okay, thank you. We're like trimming some fat early on. With the US, I was like, oh, I'm so eager to see like how much they're going to replicate the UK format. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, the US filmed before the UK, despite the fact that the UK aired already. So, and the US does not do this twist. All 20 of them play the game. And I think that just sort of shows you that, like, UK takes some bigger swings. Pat?
Yeah, they're not afraid.
But I'll say, so Evan's calling me. I raised my hand. I will say that one way that US avoids this trap of not knowing who anyone is at any point in the show is that they do have half the cast be people we already know. I mean, I knew half the cast coming in, so I don't need to get to know Kate Chastain. I don't need to get to know Rachel Riley. I know those girls. I've known them since the day I was born. But with UK, it's a little different. I also think I don't know the host of UK before watching it, but I love her, and she is giving to me like are you Housewives, Evan? Mm-hmm. She's giving to me like it's like Parent Trap with Cindy Barshop, where like American and British like separated at birth, like.
Yeah, it's like Cindy Barshop with like some Carlton energy like about it too.
Totally,
there's like a little bit of witchiness.
Yes, but Cindy and her both like go for the Joan Jett moment.
Totally. You know what
I
mean? Yeah.
I love it. Now, let me ask you all this. Do you feel hot today?
No.
I don't feel hot. I feel really tired still. Like, I got so behind on sleep and I just still am not recovered and I keep eating chocolate chip cookies against my will.
I'm going to feel hot like as the day progresses though. I feel like a turning, like the axis is going to, the axis
You know, it's snowing.
Something.
It's snowing. Well, actually, it stopped.
Did it stop snowing? That's sad.
Yeah,
it's like Erica Jane's like fantasies have become a reality. It's snowing.
I saw a clip of myself in something that I was acting in, and it made me want full face surgery, so I'm still recovering from that.
Yeah.
And I saw it, and I was like, I get why people get face surgery. Like, I'm wanting to get it.
Yeah, so I mean, if it's done well, then, like, I mean, Melissa Gorga is sort of the blueprint of, like, you can 1,000%. Do a lot. Like, art happens on the face.
It's really cool to see.
Where my face and body take me as I transcend deeper into my 30s. But I actually feel hot today because I'm kind of rocking a 2-day-old blowout, which always, like, suits me.
And our final question, and this for me is so loaded, where it's like, are you mad at me? Are you guys mad at me after everything that happened?
We've never had a pause that long in our podcast.
This is crazy.
Don't edit that out, Allison.
Please.
Am I mad at you?
Yeah.
I had to think about it, I will admit. I'm landing on...
Yeah, of course.
No.
Okay.
But the pause really was reassuring. Pointed for a reason.
Yeah. Totally. I don't
blame
you.
And that's noted. I'm writing it down. What about you, Catherine? Are you mad at me? Well, we can't...
No, I actually feel, like, so proud of you in this moment. Because I think young Pat would have just been like, okay, well, we're not doing it. But the fact that you, out of nothing, were able to create a Zoom link...
The generative power felt intoxicating.
You took that initiative. But, Evan, are you mad at me? Because it wasn't me who was texting, I was involved, and I am, for better or for worse, forever entwined with my podcast partner.
No, I feel like can I say what time it is right now? Are you guys timestamp averse? Okay, so it's 12:18 on Saturday. I feel like by 12:22, I'll be over it.
Okay.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
That's not great. Wait, cool.
I've heard better. But thank you for being real with us. And
yeah.
I would say, yeah, where should our listeners find you?
You should tune in to my podcast, Shut Up Evan. My next guest is Ava Max, and I have it's a really fun interview. Wow. With Ava Max I feel like she's sort of hard to get to know, and I feel like I don't feel like I like broke through, but I broke in some secret doors.
Yeah, for me, cool. Ava Max, I'm like, is that Bebe Rexha? Is that, do you know what I'm saying? It's, they're very,
well,
like,
I know,
duo.
I remember when Ava Max judged Drag Race, and then, like, people love Words as Weapons, that new single.
I'm among them. And then also, tune in to my other podcast, my Survivor podcast, Drop Your Buffs, because for Survivor super fans, we have an interview coming up with Angelina, the star of season 37 of Survivor and season 2 of The White Lotus. She has a cameo in the premiere episode.
Oh, right.
And she
does
not do a lot of podcasts. She does not talk about Survivor a lot, and she's doing it for us. And we have some other alumni calling in for the episode. It's definitely going to be really major.
That's juicy.
Oh my God, that sounds so exciting.
Well, we can't thank you enough. Thank you so much for coming on the pod. I would never tell you to shut up, Evan, to borrow a phrase. I'm laughing. Have an amazing Saturday. Tell Billy we're sorry about what we did to your day. And we want to send you, everyone love and light. The headset can come off. We can just relax now.
Yeah.
If you're boring as fun, seek treatment.